Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson, as you've heard read, and our theme, Jesus is risen, just as he said. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it was the day after the Sabbath, very early on Sunday morning. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene made their way to the tomb of Jesus. Matthew tells us, as you heard in our gospel lesson this morning, that they wanted to go there to see the tomb. Yet Luke reminds us that they went with baskets full of spices and linen so that they complete a burial of a dead corpse. Little did they know, little did they remember that Jesus, as he told them, would rise from the dead, just as he said. It seems like they had a task to complete. And dear ones, you also have a task here in your life, all kinds of unfinished tasks. There are bills to pay. There's a house to clean. Now that it's spring, you have yard work to complete. And yes, there's the very important chores of farm life. Yet since Jesus is risen from the dead, there's a more important task that's been completed for each of you. And this task has been completed by your Lord Jesus. Your sin has been atoned for. You have been redeemed, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, there is also a resurrection in store for each and every one of us. Today, we celebrate our Lord's resurrection from the dead. And that there is nothing that can prevent that, not even health orders or our government or even a virus. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That is our victory cry, even in this time of pestilence. We still cry that. We still proclaim that Jesus is risen from the dead, just as he said. Even though we aren't in full fellowship right now, as we see, even though there are many of you still at home now watching this a couple of hours later, all of us together, though, in unity, can still run to the tomb. We run to the tomb, and what do we see? We discover something that's very necessary. We see that the tomb is empty. It will always be empty. And there at the tomb, we see the defeat of sin, death, and devil. This has been accomplished, not by what we have done, but by what Jesus has done for us. The angel proclaimed this truth to both Marys. He proclaims this truth to the whole world. The angel proclaims this truth to each and every one of us here this morning and to you watching at home. The truth is this: Jesus is risen, just as he said. So our text begins this morning with these words. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to look at the tomb. They were going to the tomb to see if Jesus was still dead. They were going there expecting to prepare a dead, lifeless body for a proper burial. They did not expect, they did not remember what Jesus had said. Instead, they were prepared to prepare a dead, lifeless body for a proper burial. Now, it's not hard for any of us to understand this. It must be very clear to us that they are suffering. Remember that they had seen the horrors of a Roman execution. They saw Jesus die. They suffered as his body was lowered from the cross. They saw and they understood and they suffered as they saw the ugliness of death and the reality of death. They saw Jesus laid in a tomb, and then they saw that stone rolled into the entrance of the tomb, and then it was sealed tight. That evening and the following day, they were suffering. They thought that Jesus was their Messiah, but now he's dead. Dear ones, I know you've suffered the same. I have suffered the same. None of us are immune to this. We've all seen a loved one die before our eyes. And when you see a loved one die before your eyes, it's something that you'll never, ever forget. The memory remains with us because death is real. It's also revolting, and it's very painful. And yes, as you heard, death will come to all of us. And death is even more prominent in our society today, especially with this virus, this scourge that's sweeping across the world. And yes, death is greatly misunderstood. And especially today, death is deeply feared. Martin Luther had a favorite saying. His favorite saying was a single Latin word, vivit. Vivit means he lives. And even though Luther taught that we should rise each morning, cross ourselves, and say to ourselves, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He did, as we do, struggle to remember and to do what the psalmist proclaims that we should do. Oh, how life has changed. How life has changed now that Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus brings to us the reality of his resurrection, and he brings that reality into our life. The text continues. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Big events require big announcements. The earth shakes. An angel comes from heaven. He rolls away the stone. He doesn't do this to let Jesus out, by the way. He does this to reveal to the whole world that the tomb is empty. And by the way, it will always be empty. And then the angel does something very interesting. He sits on the stone. This sitting on the stone shows that the angel is showing the triumph, the glory, and the boldness of God. He proclaims to all the world, he proclaims to you, that Jesus is victorious. And isn't it interesting that this place of death, there's now a place of life? But the Roman soldiers, they are so afraid that they become like the dead ones. Now the Marys arrive. This happens almost simultaneously, by the way. And what does the angel tell them when they arrive? Very important words. First, he says, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, the crucified one. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The Mary's loving Father in heaven, he knew, God Almighty knew that these women were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the one who was just crucified. And he knows also, your Father in heaven knows also that you, that many of you are grieving, that many of you have fears, and he knows those fears. He knows your anguish, and yes, he knows your pain. Come and see the place where he lay. We also look inside, and as we look inside the empty tomb, we see with eyes of faith the unique position of the linen clothes and the neatly folded headpiece. He is not here. He is not there. He is risen. Moms, and all moms know this, by the way, you know when your children have been in the chocolate, don't you? You know it because it's all over their face and it's all over their hands. The evidence is clear. Look in the tomb. The evidence is clear. The angel tells the women to go and quickly tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. The evidence is crystal clear. Yet the world still doubts it. But the tomb is still empty. And by the way, the tomb will always be empty. The evidence is clear. So the angel tells them to go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus will meet them in Galilee, the very place where he first called them. There he will meet them again. And as they run from the tomb, they are afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? But yet they are filled with joy. What an honor and privilege that it was women who first proclaimed the news that Jesus has risen from the dead. They are the first witnesses. And what did they proclaim? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus has risen from the dead, just as he said. Suddenly, Jesus meets them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasping his feet and worshiping him. Then Jesus said to them, again, very important words for all of us, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Greetings. Jesus uses a very common greeting of that age. Essentially, he is saying, rejoice. Rejoice. Why should they rejoice? There he is, the great I am, is standing before them, and he's proclaiming to them, I am, and I am lives. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus lives. Do not be afraid. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. Even though we are temporarily separated in our fellowship, he is still present in your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always come to you and announce to you what he has done for you, dying for you to forgive you of all of your sins. There's never a reason to be afraid. Yes, I know there's a virus sweeping across the world, and many people are afraid. But Jesus lives. Why are you afraid? Yes, I know that death is around us all the time. As Scripture tells us, we are like sheep to the slaughter. We face death all day long. But why are you afraid? Jesus has risen, and he has risen from the dead, just like he said. Now, there's something interesting here. Jesus tells the two Marys to go and see and tell his brothers that he is risen and that he will meet them in Galilee. It's interesting that he uses the word brothers. Even though his brothers, his disciples, were unfaithful to him. Remember, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what do the disciples do? They scatter like sheep. Later that very evening, Jesus will appear to the 10 in the upper room. Remember, Thomas is not there. Judas Iscariot's already dead. So he appears to them and he shows them the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. He shows them the supreme evidence. And he tells them that their sins are forgiven. Peace be with you. Dear ones, my brothers and sisters, peace be with you. Your sins are also forgiven, even though we at times also desert our Lord. And we chase after those things that will not save us, things of this world, and especially the things of the evil one. Yet he continues to give to you and me eyes of faith as we also look at his nail-scarred hands and his nail-scarred feet and the scar in his side. That's also evidence for us that Jesus is alive. He is risen. Just as he said, here in our risen Lord Jesus, you find your true identity in life. Yes, people are looking for their identity, especially in this world, all the time. But they're looking for their identity in things that will not save them, things that will not satisfy them, things that actually lead them away from their Lord. But it's Jesus who is giving you the identity, just as Paul tells the Colossians, your life is hidden with Christ in God. My dear brother and sister, life without this reality, life without you being hidden with Christ in God, is not a life worth living whatsoever. And this is what Jesus has done for you. And this is why we proclaim, especially on this day, the resurrection day, of the importance of understanding that Jesus has risen from the dead, and only in him do you have life. For in his death, he has defeated death, and he is giving you the free gift of life. Yes, Jesus really, really rose from the dead. The women took hold of his feet. They were holding on to him. They can't do that to a phantom or to a ghost. He's really alive. The women took hold of him and they worshiped him. His body is real. They could actually grab him and hold on to him. Jesus clearly told his disciples, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. What a joy is this for us, his children, to know that on this great and glorious day, one day you and I will also see Jesus face to face, and we too will see the nail-scarred hands and the scars in his feet and the scar in his side. These he will carry forever as a testament to us that he is the Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. Thanks be to Jesus. Yes, we know, dear ones, that we are separated for a time, but this too will pass. For we must remember that Jesus has overcome all, including a virus. So therefore, let us remember what Jesus has told us, that in his resurrection, we too will have a resurrection, even though we may die physically. And we are reminded of this in Philippians chapter 3, that Jesus one day will come, and he will call our name, and he will transform our lowly bodies that we may be like his glorious body. Yes, the women went to the tomb early on a Sunday morning, hoping to finish the work of death. But instead, they confronted life. They confronted life everlasting, for the stone that the builders has rejected has become the capstone, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The magnificent arch of your salvation has now been completed. The Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, has put the keystone into place by raising Jesus from the dead, just as he promised. He has put a stamp of approval on everything that Jesus did. All is complete. It is done, just as Jesus proclaimed to the cross. It is finished. You are saved. Your sin is forgiven. You are his forever and ever. You have been reconciled to your Father in heaven by the blood of a lamb. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus has risen just as he said. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.